Okay, thank you for being here today, and I want to say I'm grateful to be here and presenting this research. This is a part of a multi-collaborative effort between multiple universities and the United States Department of Agriculture. It's a part of the SCRI project, and we have four of us out of all on this study here today, myself, Mark Farnham, Powell Smith is not here, but Zach Stansel is here, and Susan James was part of this. And this the East Coast Broccoli Project is a five-year project, and ultimately the goal of this project is actually to develop a market on along the entire East Coast to basically compete with California and bring a new market to the East Coast for broccoli. Okay, and like the previous study, I'm talking today about plant density. Unlike the previous study, our focus was basically the focus of our growers, and our growers are looking at bunch cuts, and they want the maximum amount of marketable yield and weight they can get to the market. And although I did look at crown cut, okay, at the multiple spacings, what I'm focusing on today is just with the bunch cut. And we also looked at not one cultivar, but we looked at two cultivars in one of the environments. Okay, so developing an eastern broccoli industry. Okay, so this project was funded by the United States Department of Agriculture, and it's a specialty crop research initiative. Okay, so this is a collaborative effort to establish a broccoli industry in the United States on the eastern coast. Okay, the project team includes researchers from several universities, private companies, the USDA, as well as commercial participants in production, distribution, and marketing business. And where I come into play with this is I have kind of a full-time research and extension appointment. Okay, and for me, my bottom line is my growers in South Carolina. Okay, and so for this, our experimental goals, well, we were looking at three environments, okay, with Emerald Crown, as you alluded to earlier, was the popular variety. We also looked at Durapac in one of the environments. Okay, and like the previous environment, growers are looking at utilization of as much of the land they have at the time. So the first system was a double cropping plastic culture system, and watermelons is quite popular in South Carolina. So the first system was plastic culture with after a watermelon harvest. Okay, and the second environment was a single cropping plastic culture environment. Okay, and then the third system was a single cropping bare ground, okay, which is typical. That's the typical environment. Okay, and so there was three plant densities, and I'm going to talk it's easier for me to talk standard with regard to actually within row and between row spacing, standard measurement, and then on the yield I'll talk about in metric terms. Okay, so the three densities were 4, 6, and 8 inches within row, and then 12 inches between row. Okay, and ultimately we determine yield and quality. Okay, and on the quality aspect, we're looking at the uniformity of the beads, okay, the bead size, the overall quality, and the stem diameter. And the overall quality is basically a measurement of this. Okay, this is developed by Dr. Borkman, Mark Farnham, Stansel, and a lot of other participants in this project. And as you can see here, and this was alluded to on Tuesday, as far as looking at how do you get quality measurements over, and I'm sure a lot of you were in that talk as well. How do you look at, and I was one of those people who was trained on how to grade out, okay, broccoli as far as quality goes. Okay, so up top you have a bead size, which basically measures from 1 to 5, 5 being the best score, although 5s you don't really typically get as far as overall. Okay, and then dome shape. We didn't look at dome shape in this, okay, although it did kind of take into part an overall quality score. Okay, and then the uniformity, the bead uniformity, and for me personally that was the hardest measurement of actually trying to grade, okay? And then you have color, and I'm not sure if this looks better as it did the other night. Okay, but this is basically our yield scale, okay? So leading to the first environment. Okay, so our first environment was in Summerton, South Carolina, which is in the middle part of the state, and it's well inland, away from the coast. Has typically about the same soil conditions as we have in Charleston, South Carolina, which is really close to the coast. Okay, so the study was a randomized complete block with four replication. This was double cropped plastic culture after watermelon. Okay, they were transplanted 8/29 of 2012, and the plant spacing, like, it was 4, 6, and 8 inches within row, 12 inches between row, and this is consistent with all three environments. Okay, the fertilizer was 2 gallons per day, okay, of 707 per acre, okay, and this was plus the residual fertility that was actually in the soil post watermelon, okay, and that equivalates to about 1.64 pounds of nitrogen per day. Okay, and like I said, there was no pre-plant because there was already plastic in the ground. Okay, so these are a few pictures of actually the field. Okay, and that's Susan. That's Powell Smith, the extension agent's technician. Okay, and this is Zach sitting in the right corner over here. Okay, it's a beautiful shot, and Susan as well. Okay, and so basically this is the yield, and this is going to be consistent throughout the entire, each environment. I'm going to present the exact same type of layout. So within row spacing, 4, 6, and 8 on the far left. And as you see, with the spacings, you don't really get, as far as quality goes, you don't get a difference, you know? There's a little bit of a difference in bead uniformity, okay? And overall quality is a little bit, so you're not really sacrificing much with regard to quality at the lower plant densities. I mean, the higher plant densities, excuse me. Okay. So bead uniformity, you're getting a little bit higher quality with regard to bead uniformity, and you're getting a little bit of higher quality with the 8-inch spacings. Okay, now for yields though. Now if you look at the yields, and this is the important fact with regard to our growers, okay? If they can get anything above a 3 on the overall quality, okay, that's what they're going to be able to sell, okay? So as far as, and this is significant, so for the first environment, you had higher yields, okay, with regard to total yield per hectare. So you're looking at 27,000 kilograms per hectare in the 4-inch spacing versus the 15,000 yield, 15,000 kilograms per hectare on the 8-inch spacing. And if you look at the overall quality above a 2.5, okay, you're still significant, and you're still looking at 19,000 kilograms with a overall quality of above a 2.5. All right, so it's basic. This is what our growers are looking for, you know, the 4-inch spacing. So the next environment was in Charleston, South Carolina, which is a little bit warmer, okay, and this is in 2013, so I'm not sure if y'all understand last year's environment. It was extremely cold, okay, and we had a bad problem with it being so cold. And essentially, this is the exact same experiment, except for it was a single crop. It was not double cropped, okay, so... And in this experiment, we were actually able to put a pre-plant fertilizer because we didn't have a previous crop. So we used 125 units of N pre-plant, and we put in 3 gallons of 3 gallons per week of 2020. Okay, and that was what was available at the time. Typically, we would use like a 404 or an 808. There's a portion of this that's actually not necessarily available immediately at the 2020. And we used herbicide in the alleys. We used dual. Okay, so this is our little plot in Charleston, South Carolina. Okay, this is one of my technicians. Okay, and then once again, we're going to look at the yield first. And in my study, I was the grader. Okay, the first year, Zach was the grader, and Susan was the grader. And in my study, my plants were extremely consistent with their growth habit. And so the only significance in quality was basically bead size. And there was a slight benefit to the higher spacing. But ultimately, you weren't really necessarily negating having a 4-inch spacing. Now on yield, like bear in mind, this was a much colder season, colder year. We did get in earlier. I mean, we did get in early. And the pattern still shows that at the 4-inch spacing, a grower in the Charleston area would benefit from the tighter spacing, the higher plant density. Okay, so and the total yield per hectare was still higher with the 4-inch spacing. The total marketable yield percent of population, okay, was higher with the 8-inch, but the total marketable percent population with a overall quality of 2.5 or better, okay, was basically every last plant that was planted, and the 4-inch spacing was above a 2.5 as far as quality. So once again, the 4-inch spacing was the winner. Okay, for Charleston growers, it's the same situation, 4-inch spacing. Okay, environment 3. So once again, this is where we looked at a single crop bare ground situation, and this is taking it more toward what California does. Okay, and this is ultimately what we want to see for South Carolina and along the entire East Coast. Okay. These are some pictures. Okay, so now if you look in between, this is actually two rows. Okay, they're 12 inches apart. They're staggered. Okay, they're 3 feet between beds. So, okay, ultimately with this configuration, you're looking at 193,000 plants per hectare. Okay, this is California style. Okay. But they're in the Midlands, away from the coast, and they got knocked pretty hard by the environment, okay? Yet, the quality was just in bead size with regard to sacrificing the higher densities, okay? And still, with having one of the worst winters we've seen in about 5 years, still, although not significant, still, we had higher yields with the 4-inch spacing, not as well as the first year, but now when this is repeated, okay, we'll see on a good average climatic year, we'll see what happens if this grower decides to do this again. So ultimately, the bottom line for my growers in South Carolina is that increased plant density increases overall yields with regard to bunch cut, okay? And it marginally decreases quality depending on the environment, okay? Variable weather conditions can have an impact from year to year. And then there's direct seeding versus transplants. Last year was direct seeding for the most of the farm. The study was transplanted. And basically, there's a law of diminishing returns as far as how many plants that you lose, you know, that actually make it to head and make it to marketable heads. And with that, I conclude.
Do we have time for a question?
Okay, yes, sir.
I jumped in a little bit late, but you said you just looked at the bunch, not the crowns?
I looked at the crowns, but I'm only presenting bunch today. Okay, so yes, we looked. Well, with the crown cuts, the data is looking between 6 and 8. Okay, or more closer to 6. You can actually get crowns at 6. You can actually get a fair amount of crowns at 4. Okay, but I don't have the data in front of me right now, so I can't actually allude to exactly what the data would look like. Yes.
I think people on the east have to get there's a different. We have a different mindset about crown cut because a traditional crown cut is really called a 4x4.
Yeah.
So 4 inches long and 4 inches. So depending on where you are, a lot of people are kind of talking about a different thing when they say crown cut and it's 5 to 6 inches. That's kind of our work defining that on the East Coast a little bit. But
yeah.
A traditional crown cut actually is 4x4.
Yeah, it's like about the same as a bunch cut.
Yeah.
Any, yes, sir.
I was wondering what your primary causes of unmarketability were.
Yes, the primary cause was basically due to bead separation, head separation. That's what did it. I mean, the higher densities, there was bead separation. Actually, and that occurred across the board, but it was, you know, more so in the higher densities. Okay.
Is hollow stem a cause of unmarketability?
It is, but I didn't see that this year. I did not see any. I've been growing broccoli for quite a few years, and this year we didn't see hollow stem. Okay, we saw hollow stem and a little bit of Durapac, but that was late in the season, and I'm not sure if that was nutrient based. Oh, that's it.
We're out of time.
Okay. We're
we
broccoli people.
Here in a minute.
Sorry.
I'm sure that Brian will be around for a few minutes, and you all can continue your broccoli conversation. Thank you again, Brian.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.